नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरन्दस्य हरि हरि Today, a wonderful publication is being released. Shamsundari Devi, the daughter of Janava Mataji, sister of Raja Kumari, was taken by Krishna just last year about this time. By his inconceivable, merciful, and compassionate will, he took her from our physical association. Many devotees wept tears, but simultaneously were very much filled with joy. Because Shamsundari, by her innocence, her simplicity, her natural love for Krishna, and enthusiasm to serve the devotees, her life was a grand success. Human life is not successful by the quantity of years, but the quality of consciousness. And she demonstrated in such a wonderful, genuine way love for Krishna and the devotees and a great enthusiasm to hear, to chant, and to serve. So those who were very deeply touched in their hearts by Shamsundari Devi's most blessed association, desired to share their love and appreciation in the form of a publication. I encourage everyone, please take this book. It is a tribute in memory of a wonderful soul. It is being released today and will be available somewhere, perhaps in the front gate, for all devotees to receive. Let us thank Janava and Braja Kumari very much for making the life and devotion of Shamsundari Devi available and accessible to all of us. Today, I'm only going to speak a few minutes to your great relief. Because in the presence of my superiors, it is not appropriate for me to take the time that they could be enlightening you with their incredibly historical narration, which is so rare to hear. I would like to speak a few words about what Gurudas Prabhu, Malati Mataji, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu have been sharing with us. They have revealed the adventures, the excitement, the fearless endeavors beyond human imagination. They have showed us how one can cross the threshold of what is impossible by faith and devotion to Krishna and his pure devotee. But most of all, they have described from their hearts how it was that Srila Prabhupada transformed them in such an intimate and powerful way. It was because they became the very fortunate objects of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. In my own travels to many holy places throughout the world, and especially India, I met sadhus who were so incredibly renounced, practically gave up eating, sleeping, and even the most basic necessities of bodily survival. I met yogis who had supernatural powers, who could perform feats that were apparently impossible for a human being to perform. They would be called miracles by common men. They could literally defy the laws of nature at their will. Also, we met extremely learned scholars who, by the power of their memory, practically had memorized vast scriptures, could cite them with such power and conviction. Also met yogis who could literally sit with their back erect in meditation, going into trances of samadhi for days at a time, with not even a thought of fatigue or the body wanting to move or hunger or thirst. We had seen Vaishnavas, one sitting with four blazing fires around him in the heat of the summer sun, chanting japa from before sunrise to after sunset. Every day, not falling asleep, loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every day, for years and years at a time. Certainly, they are great personalities. But what makes Srila Prabhupada so especially dear to our hearts? Yes, he was learned. Yes, he was renounced. But the exalted, unparalleled way in which his love for Lord Krishna manifested through compassion to all living beings was the opulence that put him above all others. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. The actual spiritual value of whatever we do is measured to the degree we please Krishna, not to the degree we attain powers or mystify the people of this world. And what pleases Krishna most? Bhaktyatvananyayashakya maham vedam vijordana. Krishna is bhavagrahi. He is only pleased by love, by the genuine sentiments from the hearts of his devotees. True love and compassion are inseparable. Where there is love, there must be compassion. Because love is a concern for the object of one's love. To feel a greater sorrow when our beloved is injured than even ourselves. Even in this world, this is to be seen. For a mother who loves her child, she doesn't mind enduring any type of difficulty and suffering to relieve the pain of her child. Where there is actual loving friendship or love between husband and wife, the actual realness of that love is not in the pleasure and the joy that we derive from each other. That may be there, but for that joy to be real, there must also be that willingness to make sacrifices, to endure hardships for the welfare of the beloved. When we have that consciousness, then there's actual, real joy in our relationship, joy of the heart. And of course we know that every living being within this material world has a body, has a mind, and has a soul. Para upakar, the greatest welfare work is to do good for the actual person, the soul. And where there is love of God, there must naturally be love for every part and parcel of God. You cannot love Krishna and hate anyone. You may hate the disease, but you cannot hate the diseased. Krishna explains in Gita that he is the seed-giving father of every living being, that all living beings are part and parcel of him. You cannot love the whole without loving the parts. If you do not love a single part, that is a deficiency in love for Krishna. Where is the origin of this spirit of compassion? It is eternally manifested in the spiritual world. Even in the most liberated state, there is compassion. In Goloka Vrindavan, the love for the devotees is so much manifested in their compassion for Krishna. And in exchange, Krishna's compassion for the devotees. Lord Krishna, out of his infinite causeless mercy, descended into this world only once in a day of Brahma in his original form And along with him, he brings the abode of Goloka, the highest realm in the spiritual sky. And here we find the purest, most genuine sentiments of compassionate love, repeated again and again and again. All the devotees of Krishna were feeling like this. A single example we will utilize. Krishna and the gopas, they went to a lake which is a part of the river Jamuna. And there the gopas and the calves, they drank some water. But because that water was poison, they all lost consciousness. In fact, they lost their lives. So Krishna, out of compassion for them, simply glanced upon them and brought them back to life. And knowing that the Naga Kaliya was living within those waters, and he was causing so much pain and suffering to so many living beings. Even a bird that flew overhead, the poisonous vapors would cause him to drop dead. So out of compassion, not only for all the living beings that Kaliya was causing suffering to, but for Kaliya himself, Krishna jumped in those waters from the top of that kadamba tree and created so much turmoil that Kaliya came out in great anger to kill Krishna. This demon was so envious. He wanted to kill Krishna, who was God, and every living entity that came before him. Krishna allowed himself to be trapped within the coils of Kaliya. When the gopas saw their beloved Krishna, who appeared helplessly within the coils of this terrible serpent with many, many hoods, they began to weep, cry, pray. They were falling unconscious in anguish. Their sorrowful sighs to see their beloved friend in such a condition were so loud and so penetrating, they pervaded the whole atmosphere. And soon the gopas and the gopis of all ages came running to that place. Yashoda Mai, she was weeping incessant tears. She wanted to just go in and fight Kaliya. But knowing that there was no chance, she was ready to just jump in the poisonous waters and end her life. She could not tolerate seeing her Gopal in that condition. But the Brijabasis would not allow her to enter the waters. So all she could do was fall unconscious like a cow that had just lost her beloved calf. Nanda Maharaj was swooning in pain. The Braj Gopis, they were beside themselves. The anguish, the crying, the tears, the petition of prayers even melted the wood and the stone. It was their compassion for Krishna. To see Krishna in an uncomfortable situation, in a dangerous situation, was hundreds and billions of times worse than death to them. That was an expression of their love. Genuine concern for the object of love, where his unhappiness is my only unhappiness. There's a beautiful prayer that Rupa Goswami has composed where he is citing Srimati Radharani, the nature of her selfless love for Krishna. After Krishna left for Mathura, she's speaking to Lalita Sakhi. She is expressing that I cannot live without my beloved. It is not possible. And actually, we should understand that it is selfless love. She knows how much Krishna derives from her services. She cannot tolerate seeing Krishna deprived of that. She said, I will give up my life. Please do not try to stop me. And with the body that remains after life force departs, let every element of my body be eternally engaged in pleasing Krishna. Let the earth element of my body become the dust of Braja, very soft and pleasing to Krishna's lotus-like feet. Let the water of my body merge into the kundas of Braja to give cooling pleasure to Krishna when he takes his bath. Let the fire element of my body also give great Krishna pleasure to Krishna. Fire means light. Let it become the light of a mirror to reflect the beautiful, beautiful qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. And let the air quality of my body be gentle breezes from the wind. Let it merge into the gentle breezes of the wind and the chamara to cool Krishna when he is hot. In this way, in life or death, she only wanted Krishna's satisfaction. When Krishna had a headache, they were willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity to pacify Krishna's headache for even one moment. It is that selfless spirit of surrender, of service, that composes true love. And Vrindavan is the highest realm of such love. Because the devotees of Vrindavan are willing to do the most to surrender everything for Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, they are given entrance into the highest, most intimate and blissful pastimes of the Lord. It is that love that descends into this world. It is that love that Krishna, out of compassion, wants to share with all living beings. Factually, if we study all the avatars of all the great religions of the world, the basic principle of their purpose is compassion to all living beings. A few examples. Varahadev saw the earth submerged in the causal ocean. Now that doesn't hurt him, but out of compassion to all the residents of the earth planet, he delivered the earth and rid that demonic influence of Hiranyaksha, who was causing so much trouble. The great Lord Narasimhadev simply appeared out of compassion compassion to little Prahlad who was being persecuted and tortured. Compassion to Hiranyakashipu to end his nefarious activities and give him liberation. And compassion to all of us by showing us this incredible form and wonderful pastime. Vamana appeared to show compassion to the demigods who lost all their wealth. Compassion to Bali, who happened to be the king of the universe, but due to his materialistic tendency, was deprived of the real wealth, the real treasure of pure love. When Sri Ramchandra appeared, he demonstrated time and again his compassion. Compassion to the demigods and the sages who were fearing Ravana. He showed compassion to his mother when he left for the forest. How he pacified her heart with such sincere and humble words. And compassion to his father when Dasarath Maharaj left his body. Ramchandra cried and offered the Shraddha in the Mandakini Ganga in Chitrakoot. Offered oblations for the welfare of the soul of his father. Compassion to Sita when she was stolen by Ravana. Compassion to Shabari, an untouchable woman who was just living in a cave at Pampa Sarovar. Out of his compassion for her, not only did he eat the fruit that she tasted with her own mouth, but he sent her back to Vaikuntha on the same day. And ultimately, compassion to all living entities by revealing such wonderful pastimes that attract our heart out of the blazing fire of material existence. And when Krishna descended, he performed the most beautiful, intimate pastimes out of compassion to attract us and invite us to the highest realm of love. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Yes, this is the principal reason all the great avatars come to this earth. Out of compassion, out of God's love for all living beings. In fact, this is the essence of all religion. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prays, Jive Doya Krishna Nama Sarva Dharmasar. That the essence of all religion is to show compassion to suffering souls by spreading the glories of the holy name. And that was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. In fact, it was Buddha's mission. The Bhagavatam explains the main reason Buddha appeared was compassion to animals who were being slaughtered, sacrificed. In the Christian religion, Lord Jesus, he was an embodiment of compassion. He gave Krishna's love to prostitutes, to fishermen, to sinful people. And ultimately, he was willing to be crucified, tortured. They verbally abused him in public with such blasphemy. They put crown of thorns on his head to make him bleed. They beat him and whipped him profusely. They made him carry a cross, then they nailed him to it. And he was praying just before his entering into that deep state of samadhi. He was praying to God, "My dear Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And an ardent criminal who was next to him appreciated him. One of the people next to him said, if you are the Son of God, why are you like this? And the other one said, "Huh? Why are you speaking like this?" And defended Jesus. And Jesus said, on this very day, you will enter into the kingdom of God. Giving compassion even to criminals. This is the spirit of all religion. This is dharma. Lord, and the great acharyas, Ramanujam, he had a teacher named Yadava Prakash who was envious of his own student and actually devised a very elaborate demoniac plan to murder Ramanuja in the forest. And ultimately Ramanuja forgave him and accepted him as his own disciple and gave him love of Lord Vishnu. When he was acharya in South India, one head priest was so envious of him, he hated him so much, he put charanamrit, in the charanamrit he put deadly poison. And Ramanuja knew it was there, but still he drank it just to not disturb the etiquette of receiving a gift from a head priest. Ultimately, that head priest became his disciple. He forgave him and gave him bhakti, compassion. Madhvacharya's whole lila was compassion. And the culmination of the highest limits of all compassion was revealed in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauradveshe Namaha. More compassionate, more magnanimous, more merciful than even Krishna. He came to give everyone the chance to attain the highest platform of love beyond all sufferings forever. Lord Chaitanya was weeping tears for all the living entities in the universe. He inquired from Haridas Thakur with a faltering voice how to deliver them all. And Haridas explained, "By your coming and chanting the holy names, they will all be delivered." Jiva Goswami explains the nature of the inconceivable powers of God. On one level, he is Satchidananda. He is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the ecstatic devotion of Radharani. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is quoted that he's thinking that the bliss of Sri Radharani is tens and millions of times greater than his. So simultaneously, he is Rasaraj in the highest ecstasy. And inconceivably, he also feels great sorrow to see the suffering of others. This is his transcendental nature, his love. And therefore, he descends again and again and again. Lord Chaitanya gave love of God to Jagai and Madhai. One time, Lord Chaitanya and Srivas Thakur were walking through the streets of Navadvip, and there were some drunkards in a place where simply drinking liquors were taking place. And they were just in a very drunken stupor calling out, "Come here, come here, Nimai, come here." And Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, "I will go, I will go, I will give them bhakti, I will give them harinam." And Srivas said, "No, my lord, you can't go. What will people think of you? It will ruin your reputation. You cannot enter into a house of drunkards. Nobody goes into such houses like that of any decency or piety." Lord Chaitanya, "I will go, I will go, I will deliver them." Srivas said, "If you go in there, I will have to hear you blasphemed. I cannot. If you go in there on this very day, I will tie my neck with rope, put it to a heavy rock, and drown myself in the Ganga." The Lord said, "I will not go in." But then simply by his will, all the drunkards came out of the house in Harinam Sankirtan procession, loudly chanting the holy names. This is the nature of Lord Chaitanya's compassion. Parama karuna pahundui jananitai gora chandra. These two lords, Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya, are most merciful. Why? They are giving the highest realm of Vrindavan's love to everyone and anyone. The only price is just to open our hearts and accept it, without considering whatever sins, whatever disqualifications, whatever we have done in this life and all previous lives is not even taken into account. Just take the holy name. Take the association of devotees and go back home, back to Godhead. And through our parampara, this current of causeless, selfless compassion has flowed through the hearts of all of our acharyas. And it was this current of the highest, most complete and pure love that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada embodied in his every word, his every thought, and his every act. We have heard many times he left Vrindavan, Seva Kunj, the place of the Raslila, the home of Rupa Jiva Goswamis. He left the eternal abode of the Lord to go to Bombay to beg Sumati Murarji, beg her for a ticket. Such an aristocratic scholar and saint begging some business lady for a ticket, not for himself, but for every living entity in the world. Simply compassion. It was the order of his compassionate guru. And then Jaladutta, heart attacks, seasicknesses, old age, then New York, poverty, death threats, freezing cold, no support, no encouragement. Why did he continue? Compassion. His heart was feeling pain to see the suffering of others. Actually, when your heart feels pain to see the suffering of others, that awakens actual spiritual ecstasy. Why? Because it's pleasing to Krishna. Because we are sharing Krishna's spirit of love in a mood of servitude. The last few days, we have heard the beautiful stories of Prabhupada's compassion. Prabhupada taught us that real welfare must be based on knowledge, not ignorance. Knowledge that every living entity is a spirit soul. Prabhupada gave example. If a small child is lost and starving, to give it food and a place to sleep is not complete compassion. But to show the child how to get home, that is actual compassion. So the philanthropy of this world, of feeding the hungry, healing the sick, helping people to overcome their political or sociological repressions, persecutions. That is compassion within the modes of nature. But it gives no relief whatsoever to the soul. But to give knowledge, both theoretical and practical, by which a person can return to his or her eternal home with Krishna, that is compassion. That is real love. Without understanding the differentiation between the body and the soul, without understanding that the life force is spiritual and part of Krishna, we cannot actually be truly compassionate. Prabhupada gives the example, if a man is drowning, if you save his coat and leave the man to die, that is not real compassion. Welfare in this world is trying to help the coat. But to save the soul is to save the person. The soul is starving, starving for love. And only Krishna can satisfy that need. So Prabhupada taught us that real compassion, real love, must be the combination of theoretical and practical. And he taught us by his own example. Srila Prabhupada's life was not simply to defeat people and become famous. It was to transform people's hearts. And how he transformed people's hearts, we have heard. Srila Prabhupada saw that little spark of the propensity to serve Krishna. Even if that spark was surrounded by volumes and volumes of pollution and smoke, he just concentrated on that spark. We have heard about Haight Ashbury. People were coming in stoned on narcotics, with their belly full of beef, dead cows, coming in with their girlfriends, practically having illicit sex right there. Some of them were taking off their clothes in kirtans. Now, for most sannyasis, Prabhupada was living by the highest and strictest standards of morality, ethics, and spirituality. And yet out of his compassion, he was so liberal. He saw that little tiny spark, even though it was surrounded by volumes and volumes, practically an ocean of poison and pollution. He would just concentrate on that spark and fan it in whatever way worked to make it grow. Prabhupada was so encouraging, so non-judgmental. When Malati was caught stealing butter, Prabhupada told her, Krishna was also a butter thief. When Shamsundar Prabhu and Malati told Prabhupada they were going to jail, Prabhupada said, that's all right. Krishna was also born in jail. And when they told him they were going to jail for selling drugs, Prabhupada said, that's all right. I also sold drugs. Just wanted to fan that little tiny spark with encouragement. That is love. When we speak about truth, we must understand how Prabhupada applied truth. Yes, it would have been truth for Prabhupada to say, it is your sinful reaction to go to jail, you sold drugs, nonsense rascal. That would have been truth. But the highest truth is that which has the practical value of transforming a person and bringing them closer to Krishna. That's the absolute truth, whatever brings a person closer to Krishna. Prabhupada conquered people's hearts by his love for them. And love is reciprocal. Prabhupada taught us we should command respect. We should not demand respect. Prabhupada didn't simply order them. Prabhupada invested within them so much of his compassion, of his love, of his life, that they wanted to do anything and everything for him. Even follow the regulative principles, even chant 16 rounds, even go anywhere and everything, and they did it blissfully. When these three great special souls were describing their pastimes with Prabhupada, although there was a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, and we can't even imagine some of them, they're speaking blissfully. And the fact is, they were blissful. Because they wanted to please Prabhupada. They wanted to do anything for him because he loved them so much. He had such compassion upon them. They naturally wanted to reciprocate with their lives. When Prabhupada was asked, what can we do to repay you for the great gift you have given us? Srila Prabhupada's reply was, what I am giving you, share with others. He wanted nothing for himself. He gave his life for the welfare of all living beings. Imagine Prabhupada's compassion. It's rare in this world to even find people compassionate to their own family members or even friends. Prabhupada was on that Jaladuta suffering heart attacks at 70 years old in poverty in New York with strobe lights crashing against his body in San Francisco, blinding. Why was he there? His whole mission was to give his life in compassion to people he never met and didn't even know. When he was on Jaladuta, he was going to a place where he did not know one single person. And he was undergoing so much tribulation for them. That is love. That is love for Krishna. Because he intimately felt love for every living being. as did Vasudev Dat. Vasudev Dat approached Lord Chaitanya crying. Lord Chaitanya was glorifying Vasudev Dat as if he had 1,000 mouths. And Vasudev Dat did not like to hear himself glorified. He said, I have an appeal, my Lord, and you are independent and supreme. You have the power to fulfill anyone's desires. So please fulfill my desire. I wish that all living beings in the entire universe be liberated and returned to your abode. And whatever karma, whatever sinful reactions for every living entity in the universe are there, let them all fall on my head. Let me suffer perpetually in any hellish condition so that everyone else can be happy with you. And Lord Chaitanya understood that he was serious. That was the only desire in his life. Lord Chaitanya, he cried torrents of tears. His hair stood on end, his limbs were trembling, and his voice faltered. So this is not astonishing that you are speaking like this, because you are Prahlad Maharaj incarnation. Because you have such love for every living being, Krishna is conquered by you and must fulfill your desire. And Lord Chaitanya repeatedly said about Vasudev Dat, I am Vasudev Dat's man. I am his property. My body belongs to him. Wherever he sells me, I am sold. That is the love of the Lord for the devotee who shares the Lord's mission in this world, the mission of compassion. It was this spirit that Srila Prabhupada embodied in such an unparalleled, glorious way. And it is our ultimate aspiration in life simply to be an instrument of Prabhupada's compassion. Prabhupada did not demonstrate something artificial, and we should not be artificial. It's actually not so difficult to speak very high erudite philosophy. All you have to do is have some scholarly karma, which so many millions of people in this world have, but they don't apply it properly. But to speak high philosophy, is a wonderful attribute. However, it could also make us proud. And then everything is disturbed. Then all our philosophy and all our arguments and all our defeating others is not really going to please Krishna. We start thinking ourselves better than others. We're not Vaishnavas. We're philosophers. Yes, in our sampradaya, there is the understanding of the highest rasas of Braj Bhumi. And yes, we could memorize these things and learn them thoroughly, but that doesn't make us advanced devotees. That is why Srila Prabhupada so painstakingly wanted us to be real, genuine, not superficial, artificial rasika bhaktas and philosophers. by his example and by his training, he wanted to teach us that until we're first-class human beings, we cannot realize any of this philosophy or any of the rasika aspects of Vaishnavism. And what does that mean? To be humble, to be forgiving, to be genuinely concerned for the welfare of others, to be really in a spirit of das, 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 anu das, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. These qualities are foundational to any real spiritual advancement. Otherwise, whatever we build upon something without that proper foundation, it's not real. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed, don't try to jump into being great souls. Just try to be a humble servant. Serve the order of Guru. And what is his order? To do your sadhana, to purify your heart by chanting the holy names attentively, and to preach for the welfare of others. To preach in such a way that they will be transformed in a real way, the way Prabhupada preached. Prabhupada could have preached the Ras Lila anywhere he went. Giriraj Swami tells a story that they were in Madras and one guest was saying, tell us about Ras Lila. And Prabhupada was saying, Dehino smin yata dehe, you are not this body. And when they pressurized him, Prabhupada said, I am not qualified to speak on that, which means you're not qualified to hear it. It's all just mental entertainment. Prabhupada was trying to give the real thing. Trinarapi sunichena taror iba sahishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Unless we're actually genuinely humble, like a blade of grass, tolerant, forgiving, caring, and giving like a tree. Unless we offer all respects to all others and expect none in return, then we cannot properly even chant the holy names. What to speak of understand or realize anything else? Prabhupada was real. There was nothing artificial about him. He loved Krishna and he loved every living beings. And he was like a beggar. He declared himself on Jaladutta to be an insignificant beggar, praying to Krishna, please give me the words to enlighten these souls. We have heard from these wonderful devotees how Prabhupada so lovingly forgave them for any of their inappropriate activities and just continued to feed them and nourish them with love, with compassion. And how this quality in Prabhupada not only inspired but empowered these Vaishnavas to perform services that are practically unparalleled in the history of Vaishnavism. Yes, we should pray to be real, real disciples, real servants of the Lord. And that means very, very humble. We're beggars. We're not givers. We're beggars. We're beggars for the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and then we're simply assisting them in giving. But we have nothing to give. That is the spirit of a compassionate preacher. It is in giving that we receive. We should not expect others to love us. We should try to give Prabhupada's love to others. That is service. So let us perform our sadhana in such a way that we can purify our hearts to be instruments of that love. Not artificially, but genuinely. And let us pray. Let us pray in such a way that that is the aspiration of our life. Not to be great, but to serve the great, to serve the compassionate, to serve every living entity with humility. That is real wealth. From that platform, we can actually spiritually grow into the spiritual realm of realization. The question was asked yesterday to Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Prabhu, and Giri Gurudas Prabhu, that you had such profuse association with Prabhupada. But what about the rest of us who never even met him? How are we supposed to move forward in our spiritual life? That same question can be asked to 95% of Prabhupada's initiated disciples. Only a few of Prabhupada's disciples had access to such great fortune of his continued personal association. But Prabhupada taught us personally that there is Vapu and Vani. We heard from these three wonderful personalities in 1968 or 69 when Prabhupada was returning to India. They were crying. We're just new devotees. We don't know anything. Should we go to your god brother? Should we, how are we going to survive? This was hardly a year after they knew Prabhupada. Prabhupada told them the physical association of the spiritual master is not what is important. It is his words. Whatever words you have heard from me, I am living eternally in my words. Just follow what I have spoken and you will attain the perfection of life. And you will give the perfection of life to so many others. The purpose of the Vapu of the spiritual master is to encourage us, inspire us, and give us faith by his actions in his words, Vani. But it is the Vani that brings us home back to Godhead. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around. These very, very special empowered personalities that we've been hearing from, Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, they, in one sense, were serving Prabhupada and reciprocating with Prabhupada on behalf of all living beings for the rest of time. Just like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But actually, anyone who hears that conversation or of that conversation gets the same benefit as Arjuna. Yes? We may be saying,
I should have been on that chariot 5,000 years ago.
Somebody could say to Arjuna that, what's the hope for the rest of us? We weren't on the chariot hearing from Krishna 5,000 years ago. Arjuna would say, Prabhu, whatever he was saying to me, he was saying through me to you. Every story that you heard from these three great souls, Prabhupada is giving you and me that mercy through them. Prabhupada made them the windows, as Shyamasundara Prabhu likes to say, the windows to the inconceivable, causeless, compassionate mercy of a pure devotee. And every time they open their mouths, the window opens. And through what they speak, we are all experiencing Prabhupada's mercy as they did. When Ramchandra was building the bridge across the Indian Ocean, Hanumanji was lifting mountain peaks. He was actually ripping peaks off mountains and putting it in ocean. 100 miles wide. And there was that little spider who was just kicking pebbles, not even pebbles, grains. And Hanuman, move aside, oh spider, I have my mountain peak. And Ram said, don't ever speak like that. He's doing as much service as you. Because he's sincere. To receive Prabhupada's full empowered mercy doesn't mean being with him physically. It means being sincere to access that mercy through his books, through his tapes, through his devotees, through his disciples who have given their lives in his service. If we serve the servant of Prabhupada, Prabhupada will bestow his full mercy. In fact, Prabhupada said, the grandfather guru is more merciful than the guru. And generally, you never meet your grandfather guru. Yes? But his mercy is there. You serve your guru, and the grandfather guru is bestowing his full mercy. You hear his words, you hear his tapes, you serve his mission. It's beyond physical proximity. It's the current of spiritual grace that comes upon us. So yes, Gurudas Prabhu, Malati Prabhu, Shyamasundara Prabhu, they are Hanumans. In Prabhupada's army, he empowered them to be like Hanumans. Open a center in San Francisco. Open a center in downtown London, a block from the British Museum. Make the Beatles devotees. He empowered them through George Harrison's, through influencing George Harrison to have number one records where literally hundreds of millions of people all over the world, and this is not an exaggeration that Malati will correct me on, this is a fact. Since that time, hundreds and millions of people have heard and chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the Hanuman activities of these devotees. And they came to India and established such incredible preaching. So yes, we are Prabhupada's disciples. We are not Hanumans. We are little spiders. But we can all try the best we can. And that holds true for Prabhupada's grand disciples and great grand disciples and for all generations in the future. If we just try the best we can with sincerity to follow his teachings, if we pray to be instruments of his compassion, then actually the exact same current of mercy and empowerment can come into our lives. Krishna revealed his Vrindavan pastimes to attract all of us back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada revealed his pastimes with these personalities so that the written word, the hearing of it, will attract our hearts to his love and his mercy. And where our heart is, that's where Prabhupada will be. If we are honestly, earnestly grateful to Prabhupada's mercy after hearing from them, Prabhupada is personally with us. So yes, we have the association of Srila Prabhupada with all of his compassion, through his books, through his tapes, through his movement, and through service to his servants. And that is why it is so important that we hear from these illustrious personalities. We cannot imitate them. Prabhupada showed a very, very special favor to them. They will forever be enshrined in the history of this branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree, ISKCON, as the original Vaishnavas who personally assisted Prabhupada to establish his mission. Just by honoring them, just by showing gratitude and love for them for what they have done, will attract that same mercy that they receive from Prabhupada into our hearts. And then we can forever be in Prabhupada's loving association as we chant the holy names. Help others to love Krishna. Then Krishna will give us that love. So let us not be attracted by superficial, artificial bhakti. Let us practice bhakti as Prabhupada demonstrated and as he taught us. That is the path of true perfection. So this time I will get out of the way and we will hear the highest reality of the treasures of Prabhupada's love from our most illustrious speakers. Gurudas Prabhu Ki, Malati Prabhu Ki, Shamsundar Prabhu Ki. Practical demonstration. Niranjan Swami Maharaj, how many times did you sit down and talk with Prabhupada directly? Niranjan Swami Maharaj never spoke to Prabhupada directly in a physical sense. But for the past 30 years, he has splendidly maintained the highest principles of renunciation. And what kind of incredible preaching he's doing! He's giving his life and soul. His kirtan charms, mesmerizes our hearts with bhakti. His classes enthrall our entire being with faith. He risks his life behind the iron curtain for years. Despite such poor health, he's traveling constantly, giving Prabhupada to the world. And he never spoke to Prabhupada directly. Prabhupada never personally said, Niranjan Prabhu, you do this. It was simply by serving the servants of Prabhupada, reading his books and following his instructions that he has become empowered to be one of the greatest spiritual leaders in the planet today. His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj Ki. We can speak about so many people. We have our Achyutapriya Prabhu. Where is he? Achyuta Priya Prabhu is, under Naranjan Swami's inspiration, one of the leading devotees in Ukraine. He never physically saw or met Prabhupada. Never saw him, never met him. But yet, simply by serving Naranjan Maharaj and other great Vaishnavas, because he has sincerity in his heart, he's humble, he has a genuine feeling of wanting to give Krishna to others and to receive the blessings of the Vaishnavas, what has he done? Many of you have never even heard of Ukraine. It's a former communist country. Due to His Holiness Naranjan Swami's inspiration and Achyuta Priya Prabhu's hard work, there are 60 centers in Ukraine. I think there's more centers in Ukraine than there are in India. And there's over 4,000 devotees. How is this wonderful personality, Achyuta Priya, doing it? He never met Prabhupada. Because he is sincere, Prabhupada is empowering him. Gurudas Prabhu told the story of the butterfly. Prabhupada was so concerned with that little butterfly. He was not only concerned with the spiritual welfare of the butterfly, but he was concerned even that the butterfly gets nice food to eat. Yes? Such love. Let us pray to be like that little butterfly and open our hearts to receive Prabhupada's causeless, inconceivable love and compassion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And please do consider taking this wonderful book home with you today.